Welcome back, dear listeners of Arab English Radio, Call of Islam page. You're listening to the program, The Last Savior. That's right, the justice and adala in different aspects. Will the companions of the Imam, the Sahabi and Ashab of the Imam, for example, are they concerned about the adala in environment or nature, or for example, even among the animals?
Exactly. Even we have some witness that tells us that even all the creatures, not only human beings, are going to be happy at the time of advent of Imam Ali. Even the animals find their best life in that time, at the time of Imam's arrival.
And the true adala of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be manifested on that time, you know. It's very much different from justice organizations nowadays active in the world.
Very true.
One of the
reasons that we see lots of folders and court cases are happening in the courts, and it's due to this oppression that goes to the people.
Yes.
Even sometimes we see that this oppression is only the oppression that, for example, Israelis actually put in Palestinians. Oppression has different levels and different classes. One simple kind of oppression is the oppression of a person on his own self. The oppression of a person, for example, to his wife or his
self-oppression.
The wife on her husband.
Yes.
You see, so different levels of oppression, inshallah, will be removed. Inshallah. At least, I don't want to say that, okay, they will happen overnight.
No.
It takes time.
But
does it mean that there would be no sin in the world at that time of Imam? Look, the answer is that all the people find this confidence that their rights will be given back to them.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that necessarily...
You mean this ray of hope?
Yes. I mean, they are fully assured that their rights will be given back to them. So and there must be some people that still, with presence of Imam, might make a mistake. Yes, might make a sin. I mean, but it means about the rights of those whose rights have been violated and ignored will be given back to those people.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Brother Alevian, for a nice elaboration regarding this topic, the justice of Adala, given as the third mission to the companions, or special, it's better to say, Sahabi of Imam al-Mahdi, ajjalallah, may Allah hasten his reappearance. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Last Savior. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. See another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Tonight on Exposé, U.S. President Joe Biden's electoral propaganda aims to gain American public favor during low Israeli occupation pressure, establishing a pier in Gaza while refusing to open land borders. Now, skepticism hits Western mainstream media, pointing that Zionist Israel's obstruction is still a problem, but it will now arise at the distribution stage rather at the point of entry, thanks to the Biden pier plan in Gaza. And social media users see this Biden pier plan for Gaza as a dark joke, claiming the only reason for this plan is to loot gas located on the coast of Gaza and to allow more land grab for the Zionist occupation. Welcome to Exposé, the show that leaves no stone unturned. Zionist Israel seems to be in line with the announcement by U.S. President Joe Biden to establish a floating port off the shores of Gaza under the pretext of significantly increasing the flow of humanitarian aid to the largest concentration camp in the world. This reconciliation by the regime of Benjamin Netanyahu carries many messages in line with the objectives of their own genocidal war. Let us hear from Fuad Itayim, our broadcast expert and writer at The Cradle, for more about this fake news expose. Is there any doubt that the U.S. plan to establish a temporary pier off the coast of Gaza is suspicious and dubious and goes beyond the goal of aiding the Palestinian people? Whatever the answer is, the debate has opened the door to executing other alarming objectives, such as forced displacement plans and more land grab under humanitarian and other pretexts. Fuad, how was the tide in Western broadcast media when it came to this humanitarian pier?
So there's little to no doubt that the order by U.S. President Joe Biden to establish this temporary port in Gaza is an attempt to appease U.S. public opinion and is part of his electoral propaganda, given the upcoming elections. And given that it's coming at a time when there's been no real pressure by the U.S. administration exerted on Israel to force to force them into bringing in the aid, into stopping their crimes against the Palestinian people, or to facilitate the entry of any of the convoys into the Gaza Strip, which Israel is continuing to block. So starting off with ABC News, you could immediately tell that this was part of Biden's electoral propaganda. Biden speaking as if he has no influence whatsoever on the decisions made inside Israel, when we know, we've seen clearly over the past 6 months, that they're partners in crime. So let's take a look at what Biden said last week and how ABC used it to portray this idea of a fake feud with Netanyahu.
70,000 injured, according to the Hamas-run health ministry. President Biden defending Israel's right to pursue Hamas, but warning Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu the scale of civilian suffering in Gaza is damaging Israel's international reputation.
He must pay more attention to the innocent lives being lost as a consequence of the actions taken. He's hurting, in my view, he's hurting Israel more than helping Israel.
The president's plan to build a temporary pier off Gaza for aid shipments now in...
Well, that was something out of a script from a movie, if you will, claiming that he's actually telling Netanyahu that he must stop what he's doing.
So the Biden administration is trying to portray this rift between the U.S. and Israel, which is to say the least accurate, as the two sides have shown the entire world recently that they're hand in hand waging a genocide against the Palestinian people and starving them. U.S. media is also trying really hard to separate Netanyahu from Israel, to portray this idea that Netanyahu is worse than other Israeli leaders, or that they don't all share the same views, which, of course, we know is untrue. Anyway, in the same ABC report, when asked about when aid would enter Gaza, reporter Tom Burridge gave two contradicting answers, one according to officials in the Biden administration and other according to the Pentagon.
These are people from the same Biden administration, by the way.
Well, Rachel, officials say that World Central KitchenAid in Cyprus will take 2 to 3 days to arrive at an undisclosed location in Gaza after it departs. In terms of that U.S.-made pier off the coast, well, Pentagon officials estimate that could be completed in about 2 months. Rachel?
So it's conflicting reports coming from the same side, which is a bit suspicious here.
Next, we have a report by Voice of America where they actually give a platform to a Palestinian medical professional who explains how Israel controls the borders and is constantly denying the entry of aid, which amounts to a crime against humanity. Deliberate starvation of civilians is a violation of the laws of war and is subject to criminal prosecution. But then Voice of America goes on to whitewash these crimes and claim that the U.S. and its regional puppet states tried their best to get around these blockades by airdrops, which we saw were extremely insufficient. In fact, U.S. airdrops actually killed some civilians, didn't save them, as we saw. And Voice of America is actually a U.S. U.S. government-funded outlet, by the way.
Yeah, I was a bit optimistic that they gave the floor to a person from Gaza to begin with, but then again, they end up like this.
That the situation has deteriorated for a couple of reasons, and we're at the point that we are because there is a bottleneck. There used to be three entrances into the Gaza Strip. Israel controlled two of them, and Egypt controls one of them. Now, only one out of the three is partially functioning.
To get around those blockades, regional partners began dropping aid packages from the sky. Over the weekend and on the eve of the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, the Jordanian Air Force over Gaza dropped pallets filled with flour, rice, baby formula, and water. And the United States Air Force dropped more than 88 bundles of aid said to contain nearly 53,000 meals and 23,000 bottles of water.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so focusing on this charade of dropping aid instead of explaining to us why the U.S. is not pushing Israel or pressuring Israel into lifting the blockade and opening the borders and letting all this aid in, it's just another level of manipulation and deceit, Marwa. I mean, starvation of civilians as a method of warfare is an offense under the legislation of many states, including the United States of America. But American mainstream media doesn't question it. And instead, it's engaging in running news stories like election promotions to support Biden against Trump. It's never been about the civilian lives in Gaza.
And never will be. And I think they might even use Gaza to try and elevate the position of Biden against that of Trump.
Exactly.
So that's what America's plan is. But I want to thank you very much, Fouad, for being
with us
tell us about this matter on this segment. Now we move on to digital mainstream media. Palestinian people in Gaza have every right to question the significance of the American step to build a floating port on the shores of their decimated Gaza at a time when the United States of America could effectively impose aid entry through alternative means, such as compelling the opening of border crossings and delivering assistance via land routes through international institutions, particularly the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA. Here's more about this with our own mainstream media expert, Julia Qasim. Thank you for being with us, Julia.
Thanks, Marwa. So the U.S. plan to build this floating port off the Gaza coast is reminiscent of the Mulberry harbors built after D-Day in Normandy. Mm-hmm. But let's make no mistake, this is a preemptive move to basically install a U.S. military base in Gaza.
No doubt.
And as the Biden administration is basically bankrolling Israel's genocide, the same Israel will also have a say in determining what at all goes through that port, essentially. Mm-hmm. So it also raises a lot of questions for the north of Gaza, which has been completely cut off from aid throughout this whole genocide. So these concerns were not only raised in pro-Palestinian outlets, Marwa, but also in The Guardian, the UK-based outlet, where on March 8th, Julian Borger, The Guardian World Affairs editor, published a piece titled, "Who is going to distribute it? The key flaw in the U.S.'s plan to build aid port in Gaza." Mm-hmm. So in this piece, The Guardian quotes Ziad Issa, a humanitarian policy head at the ActionAid charity, saying, "People say this is a complex situation, but it's very simple. Israel is not allowing aid to get into the Gaza Strip." Mm-hmm. So Ziad Issa's UK-based organization had previously dealt with Israeli embargoes on aid headed to Gaza multiple occasions before, when the Zionist entity rejected vital items like food, shelter kits, and medical aid. Mm-hmm. So he says that although Biden administration officials had presented the plan as Washington taking leadership and not waiting for the Israelis, Israeli inspectors will be in the Cypriot port of Larnaca scrutinizing cargoes of aid going into southern Gaza, and the inspections will provide Israel a tool with which to regulate the flow in the name of security vetting. Mm-hmm. So The Guardian also spoke with Jeremy Corndyke, a former senior aid official in the Biden administration and now president of Refugees International Aid Advocacy Group, who asked a very important question. Who is going to distribute the aid?
Definitely. That's what all of us are thinking.
Right. So he then says the aid organization's presence in northern Gaza is pretty close to zero because the Israelis have wanted everyone out and then have been restricting access to the north ever since. So Marwa, Klondike touches upon a very important aspect of this proposed new plan to supposedly alleviate famine in Gaza. Since this peer plan doesn't obviate the problem of the whole obstruction by Israel in the first place.
Definitely.
But rather than being a problem at the entry point, it's now going to be a problem at the distribution stage.
Which, by the way, we've seen them killing people, whether it's on the route or through the distribution phase or either after they get the aid that they need. So they're still killing people. Now they want to take control of the aid, and no one knows what they will do next.
Exactly. So they've used the distribution of aid as a pretext to cause more massacres, such as the multiple flower massacres or even in the aid drops. Mm-hmm. But another take about the proposed Biden pier in Gaza, it was brought by the Zionist Israeli Ynet newspaper, where Ynet explicitly stated that it is all an attempt to appease public opinion from the Biden administration, which is already has its legitimacy in question. Mm-hmm. So the Ynet wrote that the reason behind this proposed plan is that Biden's political conundrum. He has vested need to placate the Democratic Party base, which has come to include Muslim Americans and various pro-Palestinian activists. Erecting the new pier, Biden hopes, will demonstrate the administration's seriousness when it comes to safeguarding the lives of Palestinian civilians. So after Al-Marwa, we saw with the uncommitted campaign in several primaries so far, the progressive wing of the party and its voters voted, you know, non-committed instead of voting for the 81-year-old incumbent, making it a protest vote, essentially, against his pro-Israel stance in Gaza. So you can see how much legitimacy is really lost in his administration. So the Zionist Ynet newspaper also quoted the Deputy Pentagon Press Secretary, Sabrina Sink, saying that no U.S. forces would set foot in Gaza, a way to reassure Americans that the United States is not putting troops on the ground in yet another Middle East conflict. However, the Ynet found that to be a suspicious statement, rotating back to the question posed by The Guardian as to who will unload and distribute the aid if U.S. troops are not there to set foot in Gaza, and if Israel is to control what gets in and what doesn't. So again, there's no logical way around it, with at least seven other potential distribution points across Gaza. It's not a pretext to get U.S. boots on the ground. We don't believe it.
It's lie, lie, and lie then some more with this administration and its puppet regime in Zionist Israel. Thank you very much, Julia, for presenting to us what the mainstream and the Zionist entity media was speaking about this very dubious plan by the Biden administration. Now, ladies and gents, we move on to social media expose. In interpreting the significance of Biden's Gaza Pier initiative, its motives and its objectives, social media is divided into two camps. The first camp assumes goodwill and believes that the purpose of this step is to restore the reputation of the Biden administration after it went too far in supporting the criminal genocidal war currently being waged by Zionist Israel on Gaza, while the second camp operates on the assumption that the Biden administration is involved and complicit in this dirty genocidal war, making it impossible for it to undertake any initiative that might hinder the plans and objectives that the Israeli occupation seeks to achieve. Here is Sima Itayim, our social media expert and editor at The Cradle, with more. Floor is yours, my dear.
Thank you, Marwa. So in reality, it's very difficult to separate this suspicious support initiative from the Biden administration's overall policy since the start of the Al-Aqsa flood battle, because the administration adopted the Israeli narrative from the beginning, where, you know, they claimed that Israel had been subjected to a terror attack. It was that simple. Hamas had, you know, massacred civilians, raped hundreds of women, decapitated dozens of children. And despite all of this being debunked, the Biden administration continues to adopt this narrative, as we saw in his State of the Union address last week. So social media has a lot to say about this sinister port initiative.
Let's hear what they said.
So, well, there was this one, Ihab Al-Harbi, who posted a video that was published by the Israeli entity of the Israeli occupation forces supervising the construction of this American pier off Gaza's coast. Ihab then posted, Israel's military published footage of its forces supervising the construction of the American pier off the Gaza coast. The protector is the thief and the killer.
Well, I second his tweet.
So moving on, we have another post on X criticizing the construction of this Zionist-controlled port from Murad Abu Saad, who tweeted, it's a ludicrous, absurd comedy. What madness and planning is this? America cannot pressure Israel and Egypt to open the crossings, deliver aid, and provide secure areas for distribution. Has America reached such a level of incapacity? Or is the construction of this port a spectacle for public opinion in America and the world, portraying America as exerting maximum effort to provide aid to the Palestinian people? America is a malicious player in these massacres, complicit in creating the suffering of the Palestinian people and complicit in starving them. Completing this port would take 2 months, and Gaza needs urgent assistance. Stop your malicious games and open the crossings.
Can I say amen?
You know, last time we talked about the aid drops and how they were not efficient. This is also not efficient. We know it has other motives.
Exactly.
Not only because it will take over 60 days, but because it's not feasible.
And it has been planned since 2014, by the way. So
exactly. Security control. So we move on to a post by James Ray at Good Vibe Politic, who quote tweeted a post by The Hill saying, Biden to announce U.S. military-led mission to build port on Gaza coast to boost aid. James said, instead of ending the genocide Biden is actively participating in, he's proposing airdrops and some absurd plan to build a port that likely will cumulatively bring in a fraction of what could come in if the aid trucks sitting outside of Gaza were allowed in. A sick, cruel joke.
It is, and it's not even close to funny for the people inside of Gaza.
We also have Megatron Ron, who brought it home by hitting every nail there is in his ex post, saying, the Pentagon on the temporary Gaza port said, we will likely need 1,000 American soldiers. Biden also announced that Israelis will secure the temporary port to provide aid to Gaza. The same Israelis that are blocking the aid and starving 2.2 million people in Gaza will be commissioned to secure the transfer of aid to the Strip through the U.S. military-built port. The purpose is already known, the extraction of the gas located on the coast of Gaza, which was also written about by the Jerusalem Post. Today, Israeli media also wrote that the invasion of Gaza has stalled and there is no progress. Hamas hold their positions firmly. Therefore, it is not excluded that these troops will join the IDF.
Wow.
You see, it was the Biden administration that provoked all these concerns that we're seeing on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Because the U.S. not only provided the weapons that it's been in this war that it's been waging on Gaza for almost mm-hmm. 6 months, but it also ensured political cover mm-hmm. for Israel in everything that it's doing and prevented the imposition of sanctions on Israel, which many have called for
Definitely.
At this point, regardless mm-hmm. of the magnitude of these blatant violations, this mm-hmm. unprecedented genocide that's being waged mm-hmm. against these people that violates all treaties and conventions and norms.
And thanks to their veto, they didn't even allow the UNSC to take proper ceasefire agreements or to impose any kind of ceasefire against Zion Israel. Thank you very much for the latest on social media, especially X platform, Seema, for showing us what the world is actually seeing. It's like for the first time, this image, this imaginary image of what Zionist Israel is has been completely broken. Thank you for showing this to us. Now, ladies and gents, we move on to Figures Exposé. A new survey from Data for Progress asked likely U.S. voters about various foreign policy issues, particularly related to the ongoing Zionist genocidal war on Gaza. When asked if they approve or disapprove of the way Joe Biden is handling the Israeli entity war on Gaza, voters disapproved by a negative 21-point margin, with 57% disapproving and 36% approving. This margin has increased since Data for Progress started polling this question in early November, with approval highest in late November after the last temporary ceasefire began. However, disapproval of President Biden's handling of the Israeli entity war in Gaza is driven primarily by Republicans, with 79% expressing disapproval, while a majority of Democrats, 61%, approve of Biden's handling of the conflict by a plus 31-point margin. This margin is only about half the margin of Democrats' approval for Biden's overall job performance, which is plus 60. Around two-thirds of voters, 67% of them, including the majority of Democrats, 77%, Independents, 69%, and Republicans, 56%, support the U.S. calling for a permanent ceasefire and a de-escalation of violence in Gaza. This represents a 6-point increase in support for U.S. calling for a permanent ceasefire since Data for Progress last polled this question in November, with a 12-point increase among Independents. Now, let us move on to the most notable exposé voices for this week. The Biden administration realizes that the most effective way to alleviate the humanitarian suffering of Palestinians facing genocide in Gaza is to push for a ceasefire and to open the land crossings, especially in the Rafah crossing, where hundreds of trucks loaded with food, medicine, and temporary shelter supplies are lined up. It also understands that any other approach besides this one is bound to fail. Now, Mud's Eye Real News on TikTok reposted a video by Al Jazeera English professor Norman Finkelstein, who is a renowned American political scientist, exactly explaining why the Biden pier is an absolute dark joke.
President Biden has turned the Gaza into a photo op for himself. There's no problem with getting food and medicine to the periphery of Gaza. There are hundreds of trucks which are ready to go in. It doesn't change anything one whit if there is a floating pier on the border periphery of Gaza. That's not the problem. The problem is getting the food and the medicine from the periphery to the people. And Israel is blocking that. It's blocking it both physically and also by its continued indiscriminate bombing, the terrorizing terrorize the civilian population. There's something truly sickening when the President of the United States turns the martyrdom of the people of Gaza into an election year photo.
Now, Preston Stewart also raised important questions about the new Gaza Pier project, about other cheaper and faster options to alleviate Zionist imposed famine on Gaza. Let us hear what Preston had to say.
If this whole process, the Gaza Pier, seems overly complicated and confusing, I'm with you. It is. It's still hard for me to understand how this is the best solution. If the goal for this specific project is to provide more aid in a timely manner to the people of Gaza, there are other solutions. Airdropping aid day after day is not the end-all, be-all solution. That's never going to meet the volume that's necessary. But Israel has port facilities that are open today to facilitate large ships. I haven't seen any conversation about why can't those ports be used, the aid come in, and then they're facilitated down into the Gaza Strip. I understand there's some challenges with getting aid across the border, with Israel having the appropriate security mechanisms in place to search those vehicles before they go in, but could that not be more easily resolved than building a pier from scratch by the United States, setting sail from the United States to put that together? I just, not entirely clear how this is the best solution for what the various parties are trying to achieve.
And my personal favorite about this topic came from a TikTok account named That Politics Fella, who hinted that U.S. troops in Gaza are just sitting ducks in a hostile neighborhood, as they should.
How clueless is President Biden? He's going to put U.S. interests near Gaza to build a port. Doesn't he remember what happened in Lebanon back in the 80s under Reagan? When the people who hate us have an opportunity to kill us, they usually do.
Ladies and gents, with that, we conclude our expose for tonight. Stay tuned for more eye-opening investigations right here on Expose. The truth is just a revelation away.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
A British government advisor on social cohesion has described attempts to portray protesters on pro-Palestinian marches as extremist and outrageous and dangerous. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. British ministers are considering proposals to ban MPs and councillors from engaging with groups such as the Palestinian Solidarity Campaign, Extinction Rebellion, and Just Stop Oil. The plans put forward by the government's advisor on political violence, John Woodcock, say mainstream political leaders should tell their representatives to employ a zero-tolerance approach to groups that use disruptive tactics or fail to stop hate on marches. The British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak and James Cleverly, the Home Secretary, are due to discuss the proposals as part of a review conducted by Woodcock, the former Labour MP who now sits as Lord Walney, a crossbench peer. The Prime Minister was condemned by human rights groups for warning of forces trying to tear us apart during a hastily arranged address in Downing Street recently. He was charged with exaggerating tensions at protests after he warned of mob rule in Britain. In an article in the Sun newspaper, Lord Walney wrote, "My review on political violence is about to be formally submitted to the Prime Minister and the Home Secretary. In it, I'm asking the leader of every mainstream political party to take a zero-tolerance approach to the threat that is threatening our democracy." Lord Walney added, "So Rishi Sunak and MPs and councillors not to engage with anyone from the Palestine Solidarity Campaign until they get their house in order and cut the hate from their marches. The proposals are politically convenient for the government because, if accepted, they would put further pressure on the Labour leader Keir Starmer over his party's stance on pro-Palestine demonstrations. Several sitting Labour MPs have attended Palestine Solidarity Campaign events, including the former Shadow Chancellor John McDonnell and the MP for Poplar and Limehouse, Absana Begum. Labour has refused to suspend MPs who have attended events despite demands from senior Tories, because the Palestine Solidarity Campaign is not a proscribed organisation. The Conservatives have previously engaged in talks with Extinction Rebellion, including the Levelling Up Secretary Michael Gove, whose department is working on the definition of extremism as part of its brief. Ministers are looking at broadening the new definition to cover groups that officials claim their actions undermine the UK's institutions, as previously reported by The Guardian. While Environment Secretary in 2019, Michael Gove met Extinction Rebellion and said afterwards he shared their high ideals to tackle the climate crisis. Labour leader Keir Starmer is already under pressure to allow Labour representatives more freedom to condemn Israel's actions in Gaza. After George Galloway's emphatic by-election victory in Rochdale, where 18% of the population is Muslim. Many within the Labour Party believe it points to anger felt by Muslims over the party's position on Israel. A shadow frontbencher questioned whether the Labour leadership had gone far enough in dispelling false narratives on pro-Palestine marches. The British newspaper The Daily Mail has also covered the same story and tells us more. A British government advisor on social cohesion has described attempts to portray pro-Palestine protesters as extremists and dangerous and outrageous. Dame Sarah Khan, who is carrying out a review of the resilience of the UK's democracy for Michael Gove, said such claims risk further dividing the country. Hundreds of thousands of people have been regularly massing on the streets of London to protest against the bombardment of the Gaza Strip by the Israeli regime. The former Home Secretary, Suella Braverman, has described the demonstrations as hate marches, and the government's Commissioner for Counter-Extremism, Robin Simcox, wrote in the Daily Telegraph recently that London had been permitted to be turned into a no-go zone for Jews every weekend. Speaking to the Daily Mail, before Robin Simcox's comments were published, Dame Sarah Khan said she believed the United Kingdom had a problem with extremism, but that people should be careful in their language. Dame Sarah Khan, who was Simcox's predecessor as the government's counter-extremism commissioner, said, "I think it is really important that we don't conflate those protesters, somehow saying or portraying them as somehow as being all extremists." She added, "What I've been really uncomfortable with over the last couple of weeks is a kind of argument that they're extremists on these demonstrations. I think that's actually outrageous." Dame Sara Khan was appointed as an independent advisor for social cohesion and resilience in 2022 and is expected to complete her review this month. The Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, has not gone as far as some within the Conservative Party in criticising the marches in London, but he has recently warned against the protests. Jonathan Hall, KC, the government's independent reviewer of terrorism legislation, warned, however, against attempts to curtail freedom of expression and freedom of assembly on the basis that it might make some parts of society unhappy. Every week, tens of thousands of pro-Palestinian demonstrators protest in Britain, condemning Israeli crimes in Gaza. Recently, hundreds of thousands of pro-Palestine protesters staged a fresh march against Israeli crimes in London, demanding a ceasefire in the Gaza Strip. The demonstration, which was organized by UK-based advocacy and Palestine action groups, was one of the biggest pro-Palestinian marches held in London. The procession followed the main roads in central London to reach the Israeli embassy. The protesters responded to calls for a third global action day for Gaza, demanding world leaders take immediate action to stop the massacring of innocent civilians in Gaza. Demonstrators held placards reading "Ceasefire Now," "Free Palestine," and stopped the genocide. Around 1,500 police officers have been patrolling the area and are said to be keeping marchers away from the Israeli embassy in London. The British Law Enforcement Agency claimed a demonstrator who was seen in the crowd with a placard was arrested for inciting racial hatred. Police officers then made 10 further arrests during the incident at Hyde Park Corner, bringing the total number of those arrested to 11. A number of further restrictions are being implemented by police during the protest. Meanwhile, similar marches were also held in other major cities across Europe, calling for an immediate ceasefire in the Gaza Strip.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Majad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the studio again.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you very much for having me.
Welcome. Well, we are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to the month of God, I mean Ramadan, and fasting, according to the laws issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Well, somebody asked, my gums often bleed and the blood gets mixed up with saliva sometimes. At times, I'm not sure whether the saliva that enters my throat is mixed with blood or not. What's this situation? Is his fast valid, Sheikh Javed? Would you please enlighten us regarding this individual situation?
Well, if the blood from the gums dissolves in the saliva, Dissolves means that it disappears once it gets mixed with the saliva. It disappears in such a way that it seems to be non-existent at all. And what is seen is saliva, not blood. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is called actually called dissolution of the blood into the saliva. So the saliva actually is pure and it can be swallowed. And swallowing the saliva, no matter how much the quantity, will not affect the fast. And in such cases, actually, the fast is valid, and there's no objection to it. And if you are not sure, as you rightly mentioned, whether the saliva is mixed with blood or not, again, it can be swallowed without any problem, without any objection.
Mm-hmm, I see. Sheikh Javid, you know, we all know that as Muslims who fast, it's always advisable to clean your mouth with any means possible, whether it is brushing your teeth or any way possible, so that there wouldn't be any residue of food in your mouth when you're fasting. So if, you know, somebody forgets to do so, I mean, forgets brushing their teeth, then there is always the risk of this bits of or tiny pieces of food in their mouth to be swallowed, all right?
Yes.
And if they do so, even unintentionally, how should they go about this? Should they offer the qadha of that day because they, well, ate maybe some pieces of food?
Sure. Well, there are some details which I would like to provide for our listeners. First of all, brushing the teeth is allowed in and of itself, as long as you make sure that no paste, no actually foreign ingredients go into your throat.
Yes.
You make sure, and then you brush your teeth, keep your teeth clean, there is no problem. But when it comes to the, to the bits of food remaining in between your teeth, and you want to actually throw it out, but okay, you unintentionally end up swallowing it. According to His Eminence, it is said that if you did not know that some bits of food remain between the teeth, he says, and you did not know that they would reach the throat and they were swallowed unintentionally and unknowingly, actually, then you are not liable for any qadha. You do not have to make up your fast. Because first of all, okay, there were some bits of food, but you did not know it, okay? Or maybe there were some bits of food and you knew it, but you unintentionally, you swallowed it. So your qadha, your fast is not invalid. And there's no need to make any qadha. What is forbidden is actually to intentionally and deliberately and knowingly swallow the bits, the tiny bits of food that remain in between the teeth.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back to continue our program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. Don't go away.
Ya Allah, thank you for another chance standing at my door. Ya Allah, you've given me hope, delivered this gift right to my home. Marhab, marhab, ya Ramadan, ahi qulubana bil Qur'an.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Well, we are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to the month of Ramadan and fasting with Sheikh Javid. The gums of a person, Sheikh Javid, who's fasting, bleeds a lot, all right?
Yes.
Well, does this invalidate this individual's fast?
Well, as we discussed it earlier, probably in this episode or not, or maybe in the previous episode, You know, the bleeding gums does not invalidate the fast unless the blood is swallowed. Okay, if you do not swallow the blood, or maybe if the blood is mixed with the saliva and the blood stains disappear because it is dissolved in the saliva, of course, in such a way that there is no there are no traces of blood seen, then the fast is not made void.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What about pouring some water over one's head? Does this invalidate one's fast?
No, it does not invalidate the fast because it's not considered to be a kind of immersion underwater. Everybody who performs ghusl maybe during the day, they have to pour water on their head to wash it, to use shampoo and then pour water. And pouring water does not actually in any way affect the fast, unless you want to immerse your head underwater, which is something else. It's a different issue.
Yes.
Immersion makes the fast void, immersing your head underwater.
I see. Okay. Well, there are certain medicines, Sheikh Javid, for feminine illnesses that are usually applied through the vagina. Does their use invalidate the fast?
Well, the use of such medicine does not invalidate the fast, no matter, because it's taken vaginally, through the vagina.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And His Eminence states that it does not affect the fast, no matter what it is.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break, and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to the month of Ramadan and fasting. Sheikh Javid, would you please explain to us, or to our dear audience, your view and opinion on having injections while fasting during this blessed month, Ramadan. Do injections basically invalidate fast?
To be honest, this is a very important question and very much frequently asked by by mu'minin across the world. They keep wondering whether injections affect the fast or not. According to His Eminence, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, it is based on obligatory precaution for the fasting person, ihtiyati wajib, for the fasting person to avoid having any kind of supportive, nutritional, or intravenous injections, okay, as a measure of obligatory precaution. So the same rule is applied to all kinds of intravenous fluid, infusions. And a fasting person should avoid having such kind of injections. And I should say that the scholars, the religious authorities, differ in their opinions when it comes to the injections, the shots they take during the month of Ramadan. According to some scholars, all kinds of injections are allowed, whether they are nutritional or they are actually sedative.
How interesting.
Yeah. They do not affect the fast. But when it comes to Ayatollah Khamenei's opinion, may Allah grant him long life, he's of the view that one should avoid having nutritional injections while fasting. But when it comes to non-nutritional intramuscular injections, like for example antibiotics, okay, mm-hmm. and painkillers, you see, anesthetic injections, mm-hmm. they are allowed because they are not nutritional.
I see. What about pills, like, for example, for high blood pressure?
If taking these pills during Ramadan is necessary for controlling high blood pressure, of course, it is permissible, but it definitely invalidates the fast because you take it, you take it through your throats, and it's not a form of injection or something, okay? Pills always make the fast wider, and the religious authorities are actually unanimous in their opinion when it comes to pills.
So what happens to these people? Should they offer the qadha of the missed fast? Because obviously their blood pressure is high, so they have to take it every day.
You know, blood pressure may be fluctuating. Sometimes it goes up, sometimes it goes down. If they are confident that their blood pressure will not go up while fasting, okay, they should fast and take the pills sometime before before dawn or after, you know, the iftar time, if it is possible. Mm-hmm. If not, if they are supposed to take the pills during the day, they have to go ahead and act according to their doctor's advice. Mm-hmm. And of course, when it comes to qada, they have to observe the qada whenever it's possible in the following months.
Mm-hmm.
When the days are shorter, of course, they... or maybe it's colder, and when it's propitious in terms of taking the fast, they should do so.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javed. And thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javed, as the host of this program. And on behalf of the rest of the crew here, we bid you farewell and say wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Oh Allah, please unite us and guide us to paradise. Oh, and guide us to paradise. Ramadan is here. Allah's mercy is near. Time to give, time to share, time to show.
The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 31 meters, 9650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Heavy clashes are underway in the vicinity of Al-Shifa Hospital as the U.S.-Israeli genocide brings the death toll in Gaza to more than 32,500. Hamas deputy chief in the Gaza Strip stresses that the Israeli regime has not achieved any of its declared goals of the genocidal war. And dozens of protesters enter the Department of Business and Trade in